Welcome to Weight Loss And, where we delve into the world of weight loss. I'm Jim Hill.
And I'm Holly Wyatt. We're both dedicated to helping you lose weight, keep it off, and living your best life while you're doing it.
Indeed, we now realize successful weight loss combines the science and art of medicine, knowing what to do and why you will do it.
Yes, the and allows us to talk about all the other stuff that makes your journey so much bigger, better, and exciting.
Ready for the and factor?
Let's dive in.
Here we go. Welcome to another episode of Weight Loss And. Holly, we've done a few episodes now on food, and food is very important for weight management. We know that. But today we're going to focus on something else, something that is equally, if not more important than what you put in your mouth, exercise.
Oh no, Jim, not the E word. Can you feel? I think about half of our listeners probably just rolled their eyes. That's not what they want to hear.
What we set out to do on this podcast is tell people really what it takes to lose weight and keep it off. And there's no way around exercise. However, Holly, what we're going to talk about today is why it's important to exercise. And there are reasons that you may not think about, okay? And what you and I have talked about is let's do this podcast on why exercise is important. Then we're going to follow this up with how do you incorporate exercise in a way that enriches your life. So here's what I would say to the listener. Trust us. Go through this episode. If at the end of the episode we haven't convinced you that exercise is important, you can skip the how to exercise. But if we have, if we've convinced you that it's important, then we're going to come back and walk you through how you do this. And we have learned this from so many people that have gone from no exercise to incorporating regular exercise into their lives.
So I agree, Jim. I think the key is don't turn us off. I think this episode could truly help you see what exercise can be and maybe explain a little bit that it's more than you think. There's a lot more to it. And I think if you understand that, you're more likely to prioritize it. You're more likely to get excited about it. So just trust us.
Yeah. And our job, I hope we're up to it, Holly, is to really translate the science into a simple way that convinces you of what exercise can do for you in losing weight and keeping it off.
I agree. So Jim, I want to start out by saying I find it really interesting that some, and I'm going to say weight loss experts, and I'm going to use that term loosely. So anybody who exercises, I think, thinks they're a weight loss expert. But weight loss experts tell you that you don't need to exercise for long-term weight loss success. I mean, there's a lot of programs out there that's what they promise. You don't need to do a lot of exercise. It's not required. You can have a lot of success without exercise. And what I want to know is, does the science support that? I mean, to me, there's a lot of science about that exercise is really important. I don't think it's that unclear, I guess.
Holly, you're exactly right. It isn't unclear. And we're going to tell you a little bit about what the science says. But here's the thing. And we've talked about before the difference between losing weight and keeping weight off. If you're losing weight, you always tell me, diet's in the driver's seat and exercise is in the back seat. It helps a little bit, but let's be realistic. You aren't going to lose that much more weight by exercising. What happens then is when you're keeping weight off, diet goes to the back seat and physical activity or exercise takes over. So if you're a program that's only interested in weight loss, doesn't matter that much if you exercise or not, and people don't like to exercise. So it's easy enough to say, hey, you know what? Lose weight on our program without exercise. You absolutely can do it. What we find, very few people are able to keep it off without exercise.
Yeah, that's where I think the science is more consistent. What we sometimes say is it isn't consistent, you know, when we talk about something else, or we say that we don't know, or we talk about that there's, you know, different points of view. But in this area, Jim, I think not just our research, but a lot of people's research is pretty consistent on the power of exercise when it comes to weight loss maintenance.
It amazes me of how consistent the data are about exercise. And yet people still say, oh, well, it doesn't matter that much. But Holly, before we get going into the tips here and what we know about exercise and weight. Let's talk about some terms. A lot of people say, oh, don't call it exercise, call it physical activity. You know what? I don't care. It's movement. If you want to call it physical activity, call it physical activity. If you want to call it exercise. It's moving your body. So we will probably use those terms interchangeably.
Right. And to me, it's just not a big deal. But some people, they are very specific. But for me, it's all the same for these purposes, at least.
It's movement, Holly. And what I've learned in my career, your body is made to move. And when it stops moving, a lot of bad things happen. And I actually think, we're not going to talk about it in this episode, but I think decline in physical activity was one of the things that allowed the obesity epidemic to occur. But we're going to talk about exercise and weight loss in this episode.
And I think I've found that it is the very rare person who struggles with their weight. There are those people who don't struggle with their weight, and they're kind of a rare, you know, there's less and less of them. But if you struggle with your weight at all, I think it's the rare person that can be successful at losing and then keeping it off long term and not pay some attention to their activity level.
Yeah, you always talk about odds. The odds of keeping weight off without physical activity are very, very low. You wouldn't bet on them in Vegas.
Right. And that's facts, lots of facts. And that's what I really want to hammer home. You know, this isn't just us guessing, or there's a lot of data to support this.
So, Holly, I've studied exercise my whole career, and I give a lot of lectures on that. Before we start talking about the specifics, I want to have people think a little bit, maybe differently, about how to think exercise in your life, right? I think about being active as the normal or optimum state, and being sedentary as the abnormal state. So your body was meant to move. So it's not as if, oh, should we add exercise to our normal lives? Your body, your optimum situation is exercising. It's an abnormal situation when you stop exercising. And when you stop exercising, it affects muscles, it affects fat, it affects your hormones, it affects your brain. And, you know, I've always been struck by, if you look at athletes, people that are really doing a lot of physical activity, first of all, they have a lot of flexibility in their diet. They're not necessarily eating a great diet, but they're burning so many calories, and they have almost no chronic disease.
Yeah, unless, Jim, they stop. I see the ones that stop. That's the ones. And when they stop, that's when we see the chronic diseases develop, the weight gain.
Absolutely. And the good news is you don't have to exercise like an elite athlete to have an impact. So if you're sedentary, overweight, that's the abnormal condition. What we want to do is put exercise back into your life to normalize your body, your physiology, your metabolism. That's what we're going to talk about.
Yeah. And I know, Jim, a lot of people, and this is what kind of excites me about this episode, a lot of people think the exercise, you go do some exercise, you burn a certain number of calories. Let's say you walk 3 miles and you burn 300 calories. And the only benefit really is you burn 300 calories. And, you know, yeah, you can eat a little bit more, but when they see how much more, 300 calories isn't that much food, they think it's not a big deal. But I think you're going to show us that it's way more than just burning 300 calories.
That's only a tiny part of what exercise does. So think about your muscles. Everybody knows this. If you stop using your muscles, say, for a year, what happens? They don't work very well. You can't move around. It's the same thing for your metabolism. If you're not exercising your metabolism and you exercise your metabolism through movement, bad things happen. You become less sensitive to insulin and risk of developing diabetes. Your metabolism becomes inflexible. And we're going to talk about that because that's something people really need to understand. Your mood changes. You're more likely to have mood disorders and depression. You don't sleep as well. You don't deal with stress, and you don't regulate your appetite. All these things are things that happen when you take exercise out of your life.
So, Jim, tell people now what happens when you add the exercise, or when you add more movement in your life. Does it help with those things? Can you reverse it? So you're sedentary, We know all those things you just talked about are happening. Now you add some activity and what happens?
Well, this is where the science is incredibly clear. Exercise, it may not be a magic bullet, but it does a lot of things. Your insulin works better, so your risk of diabetes goes down. Insulin helps glucose go into your cells, so you're less likely to become diabetic. Your metabolism becomes flexible. We're going to talk about that. It gives you some extra leeway when you might overindulge from time to time. Your mood improves. You think clearer. There's even data on improvements in memory. Movement, it increases how you handle stress, so you're able to deal with what you call the curveballs that life throws at you. I can cite you 10 papers on each of those. So again, the science says it's way more than burning calories. So all these things can impact your weight as well. So think of exercise as correcting some of the negative effects that have happened because you're sedentary. We want to get you back to the way your body was meant to operate.
And I think the important part is all those things you talked about. I mean, the mood, the insulin, the sleep, the curveballs, all of that, the stress, you know, improving your ability to handle stress, all of those things independently can impact your weight. And here you have exercise that's coming in and affecting all of them in a direction that can help you maintain your weight. It is more than just burning 300 calories. It's great to burn the 300 calories, but people, I think, get stuck there and don't really understand it's that and.
It's the, once again, we've said it over and over on this podcast, it's the and that's the most interesting part of this. So Holly, I want to get into the meat of this in just a second. But one thing to clearly point out, if you're looking for exercise to lead to a lot of weight loss when you're on a diet, it isn't going to do that. Diet, you can reduce diet by hundreds, thousands of calories a day. You can't exercise that much. So people say, well, the study over here, they exercised and this and had a diet. This study just had a diet. It was the same. That's not where you see the impact of exercise. You see it in weight loss maintenance. But Holly, the reason that I tell people to start exercising during weight loss, not that it's going to lead to more weight loss, it's going to set you up to be able to do an amount of exercise that's going to keep the weight off.
Right. So it's going to stop that yo-yo, that weight loss, weight regain, that people go over and over and over and over again. Doesn't necessarily impact that weight loss, that first phase where you're successful, but impacts that second phase where most people regain the weight after they lose it.
All right, you ready to jump in? And we're going to talk about, you know, maybe six or seven big things that exercise does.
So these are the reasons why exercise is important in weight loss maintenance, right? We're going to stick kind of to weight loss maintenance.
Absolutely. So Holly, let's talk about the energy gap.
Oh, what is the energy gap? That's one of my favorite topics.
So this is a term you and I sort of coined for weight loss maintenance. And let me give you an example to explain what it is, okay? Let's take Susan, okay? Susan weighs 200 pounds. She's 5'7", so her BMI is 32, right? She wants to lose weight. And let's say she's eating 2,500 calories a day, which would be maybe typical. And if she's weight stable, she's expending 2,500 calories a day. So her metabolism is 2,500 calories a day, okay? Now, let's say she loses 30 pounds, and that's eminently doable, especially with some of these new weight loss medications, okay? Now, her BMI is 26.6. She's still a little overweight, but a lot better. But her body goes down, and her metabolic rate goes down, okay? Metabolic rate is tied to your body size. So we would predict, and I'm not going to go into how we would do this, so trust me on this, we would predict that her metabolic rate might go down about 400 calories a day. So now, rather than expending 2,500 calories a day, she's expending 2,100, a difference of 400 calories. That's the energy gap. So what does she have to do? She has to eat 400 calories or less every day. So to keep her weight off, now she's expending 2,100. to not gain weight, she has to eat 2,100, right? Another way would be if she added exercise, let's say she added 400 calories of exercise, then theoretically she could eat the same amount as she did before, and she's now maintaining her weight on 2,500 calories in, 2,500 calories out with exercise. And then there's the mix and match. So you can do a few things on the diet side. Let's say you can do simple things that reduce your intake voluntarily for 100 calories, then you only have to do 300 calories of exercise.
Yeah, and I think this is a really important concept, and I think people can understand it. You know, you have to understand that when you lose weight, that energy expenditure is going to go down. You're going to create this gap. And then you have to understand that you get to choose. You can choose what you want to do to make up the gap, but you got to do something. Right? You either have got to eat less calories forever, which we've found is pretty difficult for most people. It's hard. You can restrict your calories for a short period of time, lose the weight. But when we look at months and years, it's very hard to maintain that restriction. Or you can choose to fill that gap with some physical activity. And it appears when you fill the gap that's created with the weight loss with moving more, you have a higher likelihood of succeeding. Now, what I tell people, because the more weight you lose, Jim, and this is what some people kind of, it gets them a little bit worried. The more weight you lose, the bigger the gap. 10 pounds is a small gap. 100 pounds is a big gap. And you've got to deal with that. And I think, though, we know that filling the gap mostly with exercise is associated with success. I think you can do a little bit with food. Do you agree? A little bit with food?
I think we've got centuries of evidence showing that what people have tried to do forever is lose weight with diet and keep it off with diet and doesn't work. Yes, we have found over and over and over the single best predictor of keeping your weight off is whether you're able to incorporate exercise into your life. So it fills that energy gap in a better way than food restriction.
Right. And we think we know why, but we probably don't completely understand it, but we see that pattern over and over and over again. And I believe the more you fill that gap with activity, the better. I think for a lot of people, sometimes I say, if you want to do 80% of the gap with physical activity and try to do 20% with food, so just some low hanging fruit, like, you know, don't drink your calories if you're drinking a lot of soda, or just some easy things that maybe you can pull out and restrict a little bit of calories for a longer period of time. You can try that. But the more you can fill that gap, if you can get up to filling the gap with 100%, I think that's actually the very best. And then, like I said, if you have to do a little bit with diet, then that to me is your number two option.
Agree. And one thing to make clear, your metabolic rate, it isn't reduced temporarily and it comes back to normal. It's reduced forever as long as your body size is down. It's a normal response to a lower body. People who weigh less have lower metabolic rate. So this is all normal. So the takeaway here is the more you can fill that gap with physical activity, the more likely you are to keep it off. You cannot do it, or let's say that it's the rare person who can fill that energy gap by eating less.
I agree. I see that over and over. And like I said, science and data would support that.
So the second thing I want to talk about, people say, oh, you exercise, you just eat more. In the long run, it isn't doing anything. You go out and exercise, you just make up those calories, so you're getting nowhere. Boy, this is where there's some wonderful research there. And I have to do a call out to one of the researchers that I really admire. He's a good friend and colleague. His name is John Blundell. He's in the UK, and his group has done so much wonderful research around physical activity and appetite. And if you're interested in reading some scientific stuff, he's a great writer. Read some of his stuff. But here's the interesting thing, Holly. What physical activity seems to do is to normalize your appetite. If you think about it, if you're sedentary, you're eating more than you need to maintain your energy expenditure. Exercise actually helps you regulate that. So in a way, exercise gets your body back to regulating intake the way it was. It's the sedentary state where you have abnormal food regulation. This is critically important.
So it helps you get basically back in balance, which is really where the body wants to be, homeostasis, where you're not gaining, you're not losing, you're balanced. And so really that exercise helps that balance occur and you have the right amount of hunger for the right amount you're moving and expending, right? Intake and expenditure are balanced or matched.
Yeah. So again, don't say, oh, if I eat more, if I exercise, I'm just going to eat more. No, exercise in the long term will help you regulate your intake even better. All right, Holly, we're getting to a good one now, metabolic flexibility.
Yep, we talk about this all the time.
You may not have heard about this. This is a really, really important concept. And I'm going to try to explain it. It's not simple, but here's what it is. Metabolic flexibility refers to the fact that during a day, you're constantly switching from using fat as a fuel to using carbohydrates as a fuel. Okay. When you eat a meal, boom, your metabolism starts using carbohydrate as an energy source. The farther away from that meal you get, the more you start using fat as a source. People who are highly metabolically flexible can switch very quickly between those sources of calories. People who are metabolically inflexible don't switch as fast. And over time, this contributes to insulin resistance and accumulation of positive energy balance and weight gain.
But Jim, why do you think it's important that you can switch from a fuel, one fuel source to another? Why is that an advantage?
It's an advantage. It's almost like, think of a thermostat. If a thermostat is working really well, you crank it up to 70, boom, it gets to 70. A slower one, it gets there, but it takes a while. And there's an advantage to that quicker switch because it allows you to use fuels more efficiently. In the slower switch, you may get there, but when you get there, it's sort of like the rounding of the corners. You've had a little bit of positive energy balance along the way. And over time, this can add up. It's, you know, it's not hundreds of calories in a day, but over a day, it's a few extra calories.
So if you can't switch, then you have some extra calories, your body stores them. If you can switch quickly, it can burn them. Now that makes sense to me. Sometimes when I hear the word efficient, then I'm like, well, I don't want to be efficient with my calories. But in this case, you do. You do want to be efficient because if you're not, you'll store those extra calories instead of burning them.
So I think about metabolic flexibility as sort of your metabolism's fitness. You don't see it when nothing's happening. If two people in a, you know, one state there, you're going to measure them, nothing's different. What happens is when fuels start coming in, your meals and you overnight fast and that sort of thing. That's where the people that are metabolically flexible have an advantage. Now, Holly?
Jim, I think it's like if you go out, you kind of have a really big meal and you kind of overeat. That's when this metabolic flexibility
exactly
comes in.
You're likely going to burn a few more of those extra calories than someone who's not metabolically flexible. So Holly, how do you increase metabolic flexibility?
Yeah, you move more.
So there are several things that contribute to metabolic flexibility. Weight loss itself can help a little bit, but far and away, the single best way to increase your metabolic flexibility is to move, exercise.
You just talked about the energy gap, and these two really kind of go together. So when you fill that energy gap, what are you doing? You're moving more, and I think you're getting to a level where this metabolic flexibility is more likely to happen in people. So filling the energy gap and this metabolic flexibility really go hand in hand.
And again, think about it as exercise is not this super thing we're adding. It's simply getting your metabolism back to the way it works best.
Agree. What else? What's next?
Oh, I got lots more. You know, you talk a lot about mindset and mindset sort of your view of the world, how you think about things. We know that exercise, again, here's science here. I can cite you three or four, probably more papers for each one. It increases resiliency. That means you bounce back quicker when stressful things happen to you, right? It improves your mood. It reduces your anxiety. Here's one I really like, is a lot of evidence that will increase your self-confidence. So exercisers have more self-confidence.
And a lot of people say that's what they want. I want to improve my self-confidence, but they don't think about exercise as being part of the pathway or something to do. Yeah.
One of the things I think about, it provides a great outlet for managing life's daily challenges. I mean, come on, we all have challenges in a day, some more than others. Exercise is a great outlet for that. So it's going to help your mindset. And we're, you know, we think mindset's critically important in weight management. It's in that and category.
I totally agree. And I do think exercise is one of the key things in really getting your, what I call that cognitive orientation. You want to be more positive. You want to be more optimistic. And people are saying, how can I do that? Exercise can actually help with that.
Number five, Holly, better sleep. Well, you know, it's amazing how many Americans don't sleep well. And again, exercise can help do that. Exercise can help you sleep longer, can help you increase your quality of sleep. And more, we're seeing that sleep disruptions can contribute to weight gain and obesity. So a big positive impact is better sleep, and that's going to tie back and help you manage your weight.
Yes, lots of good data on that. Sometimes you have to plan when you're going to exercise for some people. Sometimes, you know, exercising right before you go to sleep might not be the best time. But overall, moving more is associated with better sleep patterns, more sleep if you're not getting enough, all those things that are showing more and more data that not only does it help your health, but it does help in weight management.
Couple more things to highlight, Holly. Better cognitive function. It increases your memory. It increases your executive function. Executive function is your ability to make logical decisions. So as you're going through life, you're making all these decisions and planning. That's the part of your brain that we call taking care of your executive function. That's helped by exercise. I just read a scientific article this week that people who exercise have larger brains overall. So
really? I have not heard that. What, does your brain grow? Wait a minute, Jim. What? No, I'm going to push you on this one.
I'll get you the article. Again, it's not huge differences, so it's not going to be, you know, you exercise and your brain gets twice as big. But I think what it says is it can strengthen areas in the brain that actually can be measured as a volume increase. But the long and short of it is, it's good for your metabolism. It's good for your brain. It's good for your social relationships, your mindset. And the last one, over and over, it's shown to increase your quality of life. That's the big one. That's what people want. A big reason people want to lose weight is because it's going to increase their quality of life. Exercise can help. Weight loss can help. Exercise combined with weight loss, wow, it doesn't get any better than that. So that's like seven reasons to exercise, and none of them relate to just burning a few more calories. That's not the big impact of exercise.
And I think that's the big message here, and if I could get it out, is don't just look at the calories burned. It is so much bigger than that.
Yes, yes. Whew, we got through all those seven, Holly.
I know. That was good. So you know what time it is?
Oh, no, the personal vulnerability.
Yes,
time.
Yes. Okay. These are my favorite questions. So I've got one for you. I was thinking about this all night. I was thinking about what question am I going to ask Jim? So, you know, there are scientists out there. This is something that people, scientists have said to you for a long time, and I want you to be able to respond to it. Scientists have a lot of times said that you are all about the lack of exercise and that you really talk about that being the main problem, and you don't give enough emphasis to the diet when really it's poor nutrition that's driving this obesity epidemic. And you are really one-sided when it comes to talking about its lack of movement. What would you say? What do you say about that?
First of all, it's interesting. I probably publish this much or more about nutrition than exercise. But here's the thing that's frustrated me my whole career. It isn't an either or. It isn't diet or exercise. How in the world can you think about one with the other? The analogy I often use, Holly, is your net worth more due to your income or your spending?
Right. That's a good one. Oh, I like that. Yes, I'm using that one.
The reason that I think that I emphasize physical activity is I think if we're going to be as sedentary as we are in this country, there's no way we can do it with diet alone. We can't fill this energy gap with diet. That does not mean that diet isn't important. It means that we have to elevate physical activity a little bit. There's so much we can do on the diet side. So when people talk about is diet or physical activity more important, the answer is yes, they both are. You cannot separate them. And I get so frustrated that the nutrition people will say to the exercise people, oh, you're all about exercise. And the exercise people will say to the nutrition people, you're all about diet. You got to do both. And if you're not doing both, you're missing the boat.
Right. So this is a true and situation. And I think part of the problem when we study this and when people think about it, they like to think about just the nutrition or they like to think about just the activity. And you're right. You got to think about both of them and how they interact, or we're really not going to move the needle. So great answer, Jim.
People know a lot of this, some of it at least. Why do people still resist moving?
Yeah, that is a question I've thought a lot about. And I experience it. You know, I know all this really, really well. Like I can talk about this. I write about this. I study this. And there are days when I'm like, I don't want to move, you know? So I get it. And I think part of it is in general, when we don't have to move, some of us don't have a natural drive to move, that we do have to plan it a little bit. We do have to do something to kind of push ourselves out of there, that we're pretty efficient. If there was a famine, we would be the ones that would survive, that we don't necessarily, you know, have that internal drive to move. But I think we can move. And I actually have a trick. I'm not going to give it this episode. I'm going to give it our next episode where we talk about how to get moving, how you can start moving. A trick I use when I'm sitting there and I feel like I don't want to exercise, when I'm resisting it, and yet I know all these good things that could come if I would just get out there and move my body. So a trick, it's coming. Listen to the next episode.
Something to look forward to. All right, Holly, it's time for the pie in the plate. Is exercise truly the secret sauce?
What do you think, Jim? Is it the secret sauce?
Well, I don't want to say there's one secret sauce. You know, when people always ask me, what's the one thing that you would tell people to do? That's the problem. There's no one thing. One thing is not going to solve this. Exercise does so much. It's one of the best bangs for your buck. And again, if you only want to lose weight temporarily, you don't have to exercise. But if you want to lose weight and keep it off, your success is going to be much higher if you exercise. In fact, we rarely see anyone who's able to keep off significant amounts of weight that doesn't exercise.
And so what I would tell people is set yourself up for success. Don't try to be the 2% that might succeed without it. You know, you're not probably going to be that person. So figure out how we can start to get more movement. And that's our next episode. But really make that a priority, in addition to watching what you're eating and using the nutrition piece. But oh man, you know, they start trying to lose weight and they just don't want to pay attention and put some effort and time into this activity piece.
Let's reiterate what we've learned about why to exercise. One, it does burn more calories, but it's filling this energy gap after weight loss that's critical. Two, it increases your metabolic flexibility, your ability to switch between fuels. This gives you just a little bit of leeway on your diet. It improves how insulin and other hormones work. It improves satiety. It helps you regulate food better. Better sleep, better mood and outlook, lowering stress levels, more resiliency, you bounce back quicker after stresses, and it improves your quality of life. You feel better. And you know what, Holly? Probably a whole bunch of things that we don't yet understand. Every system in the body is improved by exercise.
I love it. It's a huge list.
So the bottom line is we were meant to move. When we don't move, things don't work as they were meant to work. We want to fix that. So it's not as if we're super adding something. We're correcting something that not moving has done to your body. The good news is we can correct that and people can get their metabolism back to working the way it was meant to work.
Yeah. So I kind of think there is a little bit of a secret sauce. It does so many things.
I can live with secret sauce, but it shouldn't be a secret.
Yeah, it is true.
Let's bottle it. Some people have said if you could put exercise in a pill, it'd be the most effective pill ever.
Put the secret sauce on a lot of things, right? It does a lot of things. And that's what a good secret sauce is. So next up, Jim, what are we going to be talking about next episode?
Well, hopefully people are still with us and haven't tuned out. And if you are still with us and you're buying it, you're buying what we're selling, that exercise is critical. What we're going to do in the next episode is really roll up our sleeves and say, how do you go from not getting off the couch for 20 years to becoming an exerciser? And we're going to walk you through the how, the why, the setting goals, all that. And the one thing I can tell you, we see over and over and over, people say that adding regular exercise very much enriches their lives. So don't look at this as, oh my God, this is something I'm going to hate to do. We're going to help you do something that at the end of the day, when you achieve it, you're going to be so happy you did it.
Yeah. And I'm going to give you my secret tip or strategy. It works really well when I don't want to go to the gym, when I don't want to move. I pull this out and I would say it works 90% of the time.
Wow. All right. Well, that does it for this episode. Remember to send us your questions at weightlossand.com and we'll look through those and make sure that we answer some of them on the air. So tune into the next episode to learn how to become an exerciser. Thanks, everybody. Bye.
All right, guys. Bye. Thank you.
And that's a wrap for today's episode of Weight Loss And. We hope you enjoy diving into the world of weight loss with us.
If you want to stay connected and continue exploring the ands of weight loss, be sure to follow our podcast on your favorite platform.
We'd also love to hear from you. Share your thoughts, questions, or topic suggestions by reaching out at weightlossand.com. Your feedback helps us tailor future episodes to your needs.
And remember, the journey doesn't end here. Keep applying the knowledge and strategies you've learned and embrace the power of the and in your own weight loss journey.